What's happening on the big screen in the small? What to watch with CJ Johnson.
And joining us for a look this week and recommendations on what to watch is CJ Johnson. CJ, good evening and welcome to Nightlife.
Thank you, Philip. I mean, my biggest recommendation of all to watch has to be the Olympics. Have you been watching?
I have. Yes, the Olympics have been terrific. And apparently viewing figures through the roof, as you might imagine, too.
Viewing figures through the roof, not for the greatest of reasons, but yes. But they've just been fantastic. And they've been a real distraction and a real balm. And it's been lovely to see that as of, you know, this... You know, as of us talking right now, there have been no real major outbreaks in the village or anything like that. But also the coverage, the fact that I can go watch the fencing live when I want to, which is what I've mainly been watching, because there are so many, you can check in on any sport at any time and via the app. That's amazing.
Right. Yes, that's right. The TV app is quite something. Yep, I agree with that. All right. Well, other things to look at. We've got a movie book. Of a movie, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. This is a Quentin Tarantino matter. Then there's the TV series The White Lotus on Foxtel and a TV series on Stan called This Way Up. Now, what's Tarantino, or what's Quentin Tarantino doing with this Once Upon a Time project?
He's doing something really tricky that people like me who are fans of Quentin Tarantino will probably lap up as I did. And yeah, it's really quite interesting. So you saw, I hope and assume, his movie Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Yes, I did. It was had Leonardo DiCaprio and Brad Pitt and Margot Robbie. It was great.
Yeah, and Brad Pitt won an Oscar, yeah, as he deserved to, and it was up for Best Picture, and it was a phenomenal success. It made $378 million worldwide. I mean, it made the kind of money that Marvel action superhero movies make, which is astonishing for a sort of a laid-back, nearly three-hour film about a couple of dudes in Hollywood in 1969 going about their business.
Yeah.
And so what he's done is... he's decided to write a novel version of it. And so he has. And so
what?
It's been
a novel?
Yeah, it's a novel.
But Quentin Tarantino writes... He directs movies.
Yes, but he's written this novel version of his own movie.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And so he got the idea because he used to love reading those novelizations that used to be made out of movies. I don't think they really happen very much anymore, but I remember them as a kid. You know, you'd see a movie and then there was no other way to live with that movie because once it was out of the cinemas, you know, it was gone until it appeared on television. And one of the ways you could relive the movie was, you know, you could buy these novelizations. And often they were written by hack writers who were doing it purely for a paycheck. But there were all sorts of these things. They kind of boomed in the 70s, really, I think. And then they started to peter out in the 1980s. But in the 70s, they were a big deal, well before VHS and DVD and all of that stuff. And they were a way for people to kind of keep living the movie or replay the movie in their head. So he's taken that idea and then he's added a twist to it, which is this. And it's very Tarantino. And if you're on his vibe, it's very fun and very cute and very clever. As a reader, you're meant to imagine that this book came first and that the movie Once Upon a Time in Hollywood that he made a few years ago before he wrote this book is actually the movie that he made from this book. So that the movie is an adaptation from this novel, even though in reality it's the other way around.
I see, right. So his movie was the book, was the film of the book.
His movie was the film of the book, even though in reality he's written the book of the movie. Mm. And so it's really quite fun because for a start, there are differences. For example, like an early scene in both the book and the movie takes place between Leonardo DiCaprio's character, who's an actor, and his potential new agent played in the film by Al Pacino. So in the movie, it took place in this restaurant, Musso and Frank, which is this Hollywood, famous Hollywood restaurant. But in the book version, it takes place in Al Pacino's office. But the thing is, any director would think, office, not that interesting. I'll set it in a restaurant. So you see what he's doing? So you really are sort of playing with the idea of adaptation, et cetera, while you're also getting to enjoy the story once again. Now, more importantly, for hardcore fans of the movie or Tarantino, et cetera, there's a lot more information in the book. So one of the famous things that's left dangling in the movie, if you remember, is whether or not Brad Pitt's character, Cliff Booth, actually meant to kill his wife. Because in the book, in the movie, it's passed off as maybe it was an accident, maybe not. So, for example, the book answers that question definitively.
Okay.
And likewise, there are other elements and details that are fleshed out in the book that you don't get in the film. So it's kind of a thought experiment, and it's a lot of fun.
Can he write? Is he a good fiction writer?
Well, that's an interesting one. I mean, obviously, he's one of the great writers of screenplays ever.
But that's a different suggest. That's a different skill, though.
Yeah, he's a great storyteller. Mm. Let's put it that way. I mean, this book doesn't aspire to being literature. Do you know what? It aspires to being a pulp paperback. And in fact, I think it might only be available in paperback. And it's sort of, as a paperback, it looks like it was published in 1971. And, you know, it's written in that style. So he's going for something here. Okay. And it's fun and jolly and enjoyable, and it takes big tangents and it goes off on riffs. So no, you know, Philip Roth would scoff, but for his purposes, which is really playing a game with himself in lockdown, probably, it's quite a lot of fun.
Yes, this is a clip from the movie. Remember this, where stuntman Cliff Booth, played by Brad Pitt, picks up a young hippie hitchhiker on her way to the old movie ranch where he used to make movies.
You want to go down here and get on the Hollywood Freeway?
I know where it is.
Maybe some old cowboy guy that used to make movies there?
Whoa.
What?
I'm surprised how accurate that description of me really is. Some old cowboy guy that used to shoot movies at Spahn Ranch.
So you used to make westerns at the ranch back in the old timey days?
Well, if by the old-timey days you mean television 8 years ago, yeah.
Me an actor?
No, I'm a stuntman.
Stuntman? That's way better.
Why is that way better?
Actors are phony.
Oh.
They just say lines that other people write and pretend to murder people on their stupid TV shows. Meanwhile, real people are being murdered every day in Vietnam.
There we go. See?
If you like the movie, you'll like the book.
I love the movie, yeah. All right, The White Lotus. This is a TV series on Foxtel. Tell us about this.
Yeah, this is a big new prestige project from HBO. Only 6 parts, 6 times 1 hour, bit of drama, bit of comedy. It's made by a guy named Mike White. And essentially, I guess, HBO and Mike White were talking about what they could possibly make in the pandemic, and they thought that something in Hawaii would work. And so he wrote it understanding that those would be the parameters. So it's set in a beautiful resort in Hawaii called the White Lotus. And it's ostensibly about a bunch of privileged people arriving as a contingent of guests at this hotel, this resort, and it follows them over a period of time while they're at this resort. But what it's really about is about how the manager of the resort and his staff deals with their demands and their privilege, et cetera, et cetera. And the manager of the resort is played by an Australian actor named Murray Bartlett. I have not seen the work of Murray Bartlett before.
Never heard of him, no.
Yeah, and if I have, I haven't been aware of it. I think he's been doing American television for quite a while, possibly with an American accent. He was in like the original production of The Boy from Oz as Peter Allen's boyfriend. Like, he's been around for a while. He's probably in his 50s. Anyway, he gets the kind of mid-career, middle-aged role that most jobbing TV actors just dream of as the manager manager of this resort. He's allowed to play it as Australian. He's allowed to play it as gay. So it's very authentic to who he actually is. And he just nails it. It is just wonderful to see this Australian actor who's been doing it over there, who you're not really aware of, suddenly get this kind of big possibility and just run with it. He is so funny. And the thing is, everyone else in the show is a TV star or even a movie star. Like, everyone else has a face you'll recognize, even if you don't know their name. They're all stars. And he's the person you don't recognize, and he just takes the whole thing on his shoulders and makes a meal of it. And it is really satisfying. And it's a good show, too. It's beautifully shot. It's kind of upstairs and downstairs. You know, it's the servants or the people who work at the place and the guests. And, of course, you're more on the side of the people who work at the place. But none of the people are horrible. They're just different levels of demanding.
All right, here, this is from the trailer featuring the much put upon resort manager, Armand, played by Australian actor Murray Bartlett.
You have to treat these people like sensitive children.
Big smiles, wave, Lani. Wave like you mean it.
Especially with these VIPs. They want to be the only child, the special, chosen baby child of the hotel. We are their mummies.
Hello. I brought my mother's ashes with me so I could spread them in the ocean. I'm gonna need a boat.
We have our resort boat you can charter.
Could I get some alcohol on the boat?
Of course. Some fruit and cheese, maybe?
I think I'm gonna be a little emotional. But let's definitely order the cheese.
All right. Now, a TV series, I understand, This Way Up. What's this?
Yeah, this is lovely. This is a half-hour comedy on Stan that has just dropped its second season, and it seems to be trending. So I thought, I've never heard of this. I'll give it a go. And it's just lovely, a real balm and tonic for this tricky time. It's created by an Irish woman, mid-30s Irish woman named Aisling B, and she plays, I guess, a kind of version of herself. She plays a young Irish woman or a 30-something Irish woman just trying to make her way in London. And like any of these shows, it's, you know, her dealing with her love life and her work life and her home life and the various pressures put on any 30-something in a big city like London. But what it really is a sister show, and her sister's played by Sharon Horgan, who made a huge name for herself with that show Catastrophe. And just watching these two sisters play off each other really, really well is what gives the show a lot of heart and humor. And it turns out they've played sisters in another show on the BBC called Dead Boss already. So they're really good at playing sisters. They're both really sharp, really funny. And I started watching this show last night to review it, and I watched four in a row. I just loved it. It's beautiful.
All right, here's a clip from it. This is a scene where Anya, played by Eiling B, engages in some nitpicking while checking out of her rehab centre with Shona.
And there's your receipt.
Thank you. Do we just go, or do you do a bit of a speech, or what happens now?
Well, we're sad to see Anya go. We've loved having you here.
Oh, God, yeah, I've had the time of my life, Trees. I hope to come back as often as my schedule allows.
I'm sorry you didn't have a great time.
No, I didn't expect it to be a great time, Trees. I'm not stupid. I just, it's a lot of showness. I was just saying it because I think the facilities could have been nicer, like the website shows.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, in fairness to Anya, when I booked her in, the website did make it look like there was a jacuzzi.
Yeah.
And, you know, the jacuzzi was half how I convinced her to come here in the first place.
Yeah.
You know, because I said, you know, at the worst, if she came, at least there'd be a jacuzzi.
Yeah.
And of course, you know, as it turned out, it was just a picture of
Doug Pond.
Yeah. Which...
Well, like I said, this is not a spa. It's a rehab facility, so we plough our money into care and therapists.
Yeah, I know, but I just don't see how a jacuzzi...
Or a plunge pool.
Yeah, would be a bad thing for people who just needed a bit of a boost,
uh-huh.
You know?
Uh-huh. Come on, Shaw, it doesn't matter.
Oh, dear.
The whole show's like that. Very fast, witty dialogue, lovely characters who also feel quite real. It's really good.
All right. Good stuff. All right, CJ, terrific. Thank you.
Thanks, Philip.
You've been listening to a Nightlife podcast
For more great conversations about the issues that impact you, as well as features on travel and food, head to the Nightlife webpage. You'll find it at abc.net.au/nightlife. You don't need to be a night owl to enjoy the nightlife.